Well, folks, good to be here. Isn't it? Like David said, that we're able to open our eyes on a spring day, a day in spring, and just this beautiful weather that we are experiencing at the moment, and just that we can come through to exalt and to praise the Lord. That's really why we're here today. But I'm going to be sharing on a topic this morning that I believe is, folks, a very important topic. But it's one that I actually haven't shared on or taught on, I guess, for the last 2.5 years or so. And maybe 3 years, I can't remember when I last spoke on this. Okay, and this is the area in where I believe the enemy is coming in like a flood. The enemy is coming in to do his utmost to get into the lives of God's people, to make inroads into the lives of God's children. And that is in the area of our health and our healing. So the title of my message this morning is Jesus still healing people today? Is Jesus still healing people today? Folks, we need to settle this in our hearts, right? This shouldn't be a question of, well, I'm not sure. We need to know that we know that we know what the answer to that question is. So we have an enemy out there. We are all very aware of the enemy, that he comes to steal. He will do his utmost to steal our health. And in actual fact, his very nature is to steal. It's to kill. It's to destroy the best that he can. And yet, it is the will of God that we walk in healing and that we walk in health. We saw some of those scriptures up here this morning. We should be walking in health, folks, in health. And we know that we're living in a fallen world, and we know that Satan will do his utmost to get a foothold into our lives. And once he gets that foothold in, he will do his utmost to convert that into a stronghold. But God wants us healed, and the evil one doesn't want us healed, and it's as simple as that. So, you know, like I said, it's the will of God that we walk in healing. Now, for us to know the will of God, we need to get into the Word of God. Is that right? Because the Word of God really reveals to us the will of God. So that's why it's so important that we spend time really on a daily basis, spending time in God's Word. So I'm trusting that this morning that faith is going to increase, faith is going to rise in the area of healing as we start to go through some of those healing scriptures, that something on the inside of us is going to be ignited. Now, it might be that you are in a situation right now that you need a touch from the Lord in terms of your healing, right? If not, let's make sure that we are dialed in so that we can share, that we can pray for somebody else, and we can stand with other people as well. So this morning, what I'm going to be doing is just asking questions on this particular topic, and maybe it's questions that we sometimes ask ourselves, and then do my best to try to answer those questions that we just asked. Okay. So the first question is, how do we get our faith to rise? Get our faith to rise and our faith to increase so that we can receive healing. How do we do that? Well, the Word, of course, is very clear. The Bible tells us, we see it in the Word of God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if we truly do desire to have healing in our bodies, if we really do, We need to make sure that we spend time making a list of all those scriptures that relate to healing, and that we start to go through them and read them ongoing, meditate on them. Because ultimately what will happen is that those scriptures become alive to us. There's something about the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is alive and that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And what happens is that the Holy Spirit will set those verses, set those scriptures on fire, a light on the inside of us, so that they become revelation to us. And once they become revelation to us, that is when the Word of God becomes powerful. Right? So we know that the Word of God, you know, the Bible is the Logos Word of God. That is the words that you see in the Bible in black print on white paper, right? We know that Jesus is the living Logos. But when a verse is ignited and it's set on fire and suddenly there's a shifting that takes place on the inside of us, right? That is when that Logos word becomes Rhema, and it's only the Rhema word that will heal us. Amen. It's the word of God, but it's the Rhema word of God. So listen carefully this morning, folks. You know, if you require healing in your body, because what we're going to be doing is straight afterwards, I want to just, you know, all of us that need a touch from the Lord, it might be just a cough, a cold, a headache, or something a lot more serious. But let's stand together and let's release God's healing power, God's healing anointing. The Bible says it is the anointing that breaks that yoke of bondage so that the captives are set free. Sorry, can we turn the aircons on until the electricity goes off? Thanks. So listen carefully, because I'm going to ask everybody to come forward that just needs a touch from the Lord. So let's take ownership of these verses, as I say, because we will be praying for people just now. So prepare your heart, right? Prepare your heart. Allow faith to rise. Folks, even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, God can actually use that. Amen. Amen. Right. So are you ready to receive this morning? Are you? Tell the person next to you, I'm ready to receive. Okay. So we're going to trust Him this morning. We're going to trust the Lord for an incredible outpouring of His healing power, His healing anointing this morning. Amen. Good. I want to just open in prayer. Father, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this. And Lord, even as your word goes out, I thank you that it goes out with power, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that your word does not return void, but that it does accomplish all that you have for it to accomplish. And that is all, in all that is said and all that is achieved here this morning, that the name of Jesus is exalted in our midst. That all the praise and all the honor and all the glory goes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, okay, so I'm going to be starting looking at Acts chapter 10. I'm going to be reading from verse 38. This is just my opening verse here this morning. The word says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So wherever the Holy Spirit is, folks, we need to know that God's power is operating, right? And what did Jesus do? And He went about doing good. Healing, is it up there? Healing some of those who were oppressed by the devil. Is that what it says? No, folks. It says healing all. All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And what's so exciting about this is that Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus is still doing what He did 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still healing people. He hasn't changed. Is that true? In fact, it says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if this scripture is true, right, that means what Jesus was doing 2,000 years ago when He was healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, that Jesus is still doing exactly the same thing now in 2022. Is that true? It is. Okay. The only difference is today, well, we know that Jesus, there was a death, there was a burial, there was a resurrection, and there was an ascension, and that Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, for you and I right now. The difference is that today, that believers have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Is that true? And the Bible says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So the same thing is happening that happened 2,000 years ago. We lay hands on the sick and we pray for them in the name of Jesus. Because there is power and authority in the name of Jesus. So, the next question then is, who is it that oppresses mankind with sickness and disease? We have to settle this. Who is it that oppresses mankind with sickness and disease? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question. Okay, Jesus answered it. Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, the thief, that's the devil. Is that true? The thief is the devil. Comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance. So folks, it's made very, very clear right here through the words of Jesus that Jesus is the deliverer and that Satan is the oppressor. Let's never get confused with that. The problem is that there are many people that are confused in this area because I've heard this, and I'm sure you've heard it time and time again, you know, where people will say, well, the Lord has placed this sickness upon me. Huh? Yeah, yeah. To teach me something. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, people say that. Well, God has placed the sickness upon me to teach me something. And you know what happens right there when we start to say things that are not true in the Word of God, right? Because that contradicts the Word of God. What you find there is Satan, when we say things like that, he gets so excited that he puts sickness on people. And then people are saying thank you to God for the sickness because God is trying to teach them something, right? And he sits back and he starts clapping his hands. He gets so excited. Okay? I'll make them sick. And then they blame God. Folks, this should never ever happen. Like I say, the devil would like us to believe that. Jesus comes to heal the sick. Okay? And Jesus does not place any sickness upon his people. In fact, upon people. What I want to do now is to actually read us the story of the woman that was bound up for 18 years. We know the story. She was doubled over. So she was probably walking around like this. Kind of doubled over, maybe at just about 90 degrees. I don't know. Let's just pick up the story in Luke 13, verse 10. It says, now he, talking about Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now, folks, when Jesus teaches in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he's going to ruffle the feathers of the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. Just about every time. Because he would heal somebody and these religious people would get totally bent out of shape. Totally bent out of shape because of that. And we see this in the story as well. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. How long? 18 years. And it was a disabling spirit. Where would this spirit have come from? Amen. Okay. We can see that this was an evil spirit that had actually caused this. And she was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, now we see the compassion of the Lord. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and he said, now he addresses her, woman, you are free from your disability. And he laid hands on her. So we can see it's scripture to lay hands, because today, when we lay hands on people, there's an impartation of God's healing power. He laid hands on her. And when we do it today, we lay hands on and we ask, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus. Again, folks, the power and the authority is in the name of Jesus. And he laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Can you imagine being doubled over for 18 years? Now suddenly you're free. Verse 16, Jesus says, and ought this not woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years. Who bound this woman up? Who brought the sickness? For 18 years. Right? Satan was the cause of the problem. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. So then it gets into, obviously, he's, you know, you had these religious people bent out of shape, like I said. You know, so Jesus had to address that as well. So folks, the bottom line is that Satan brings sickness and God provides the anointing, the healing power to set the captives free. The Bible says it is the anointing that breaks that yoke of bondage. God's anointing. And it also says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. When Jesus sets us free, we are free. And we have to be very careful too. You know, there's a lot of people, people talk about healers and faith healers and all of this. There's a big difference between these so-called faith healers that we even see in the times, especially in the times that we are living right now, as opposed to, you know, people being healed by Jesus. Because the difference is that a faith healer thinks that they've got some gift in them. That it's me, they think, that is healing this person. Is that true? Whereas as believers, we know it is the Lord Jesus. It's the authority of the name of Jesus that sets the captives free. So here's another question now. So what did God do for mankind when he saw Satan oppressing mankind? What did God do? He sent his Son. He sent his Son to defeat the enemy for us. He sent his Son to set us free. He sent his Son to take that punishment, your punishment and my punishment that is actually due to us, to take it upon himself that you and I don't have to take it, right? That's what's so awesome about all that Jesus did for us on the cross. He sent his son, so that you and I could have full authority over the works of the evil one. In 1 John 3:8 it says, the reason the Son of God appeared, other translations say, for this reason did the Son of God manifest, and here's the reason, was to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came. One of the reasons why he came. Why? To destroy the works of the evil one. And you go and study that in the Greek and you'll see it actually means to loosen those who are bound by the works of the devil. So when the enemy comes in to steal and to kill and to destroy, it's like he tries to bind us up, either, you know, physically or emotionally or whatever he does. But Jesus came to set the captives free. In Matthew 8:16, it says, that evening they brought to Jesus, many who were oppressed by demons. Many people that were oppressed by demons. And he, Jesus, cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed some? All. Again, we see another scripture. And he healed all who were sick. All who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. Jesus took our sickness upon himself, folks, on that cross. When he was on that cross, your sickness and your sin was placed upon him so that we don't have it anymore. Is that true? It doesn't mean that we don't sin, but at least when we do mess up, we can go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. And the word of God says that when we do that, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this basically means that in his death, he took all our sickness upon himself. All of it, folks. All. And if he took all, how much is left over? Just ask him. He took our diseases upon himself so that we could be free from sickness and disease. And it's quite interesting that we see 23 times in the Bible it is stated that Christ healed them all, or that Christ healed everyone. 23 times. Isn't that amazing? Jesus comes to heal, folks. Comes to heal. So now we have to ask ourselves the question is, so did Jesus die to take away our sickness? Did he? In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, he himself bore our sickness, our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And then it said, by his wounds, or by the stripes of Jesus, you have been healed. So that means if we have been healed, we is healed. And if we is healed, we are healed. We healed, folks. Right. This means, this means that people, we know people were healed 2,000 years ago by Jesus. We saw that scripture that is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And my question to us is, are we living and receiving his healing and his freedom that he paid the highest price for? And that was his shed blood on that cross. Very high price. Then I want to ask us another question. What was the other thing that God did for man when he saw Satan oppressing mankind? God did something else. You know what it was? That he gave us authority over the evil one. He gave us authority, whether we like it or not. Do you believe, I'm asking you this question because it's an important question. Do you believe that you have authority over the devil? Do you believe that you have authority over demons? Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, then you're going to be doing something about it. It's no good just believing it. Folks, we have to put something into action right here. So we have been given delegated authority from the Lord Jesus Christ to go and do the works of God, those things that he did, in his name, in the name of Jesus. Not in any other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Right. So, let's ask ourselves a question. Did Jesus give us this kind of authority? Because this thing has to be settled in our hearts. Because if we don't settle it, you know, we don't use that authority. Did Jesus give us this authority? Well, in Luke 10 verse 9, Jesus speaking to us, this is what he said. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. Not most of the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And then he said, and nothing shall hurt you. Right. So folks, we as believers have been given this authority. We see it right there. Over all the power of the devil. Now, it's interesting this, because we have been given this authority. And because you are not using this authority that has been given to you, it doesn't mean it hasn't been given to you. It just means that it has been given to you and it's been given to me, but we have made a decision not to use the authority that we've been given. But it doesn't mean we don't have it. So we need to know this, and if we are, some of us sitting here today are those that are not using this authority, it's really time for us to start to rise up and start to use the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, and the authority that is given us, and he paid a high price for that. His death, part of his death on that cross. So folks, listen. This is now the authority that Jesus has given to you, and the authority that he has given to me as well. In James 4, 7 it says, therefore, submit yourselves to God. And basically all that is honoring and responding to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? In other words, that we are doers of his word and not just hearers. There's too many Christians sitting in churches week in, week out, hearing the word of God, but not responding to it. Just getting their ears tickled and feel good until next Sunday. Not good enough, folks. Not good enough. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. We're under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Flee from you. That word flee. Go look it up. It means as in terror. When we rise up and we come against him, he flees as in terror. Like I've said before, like a little yapping dog. You know those little yapping dogs that will come and irritate you, and as soon as you go, they turn around and they tuck their little tails firmly between their two back legs, and they bolt and they go, am I right? This is the authority that we have, folks. It's the authority we have, okay? And it's important that we know these truths. We must know them, and that is why it is so important for us to be those who read our word and study our word and meditate on the word. Because John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Who wants freedom here today? Who wants to walk in freedom? Well, we need to know the truth. And where do we get the truth? In the word. So we should be those who know the truth about healing, and that's why I'm speaking about this today. So that you and I can be totally free from sickness, okay? And that our bodies are free from all of this. And like I said, I know we're living in a fallen world, but even, listen, even if we are at a place, because, you know, people go through stuff, whatever it is that people go through, we must never ever say, well, the word of God is not working, right? What I'm sharing here today is what we need to put in practice in our own lives, and we carry on right until eternity, okay? We apply God's principles right until the very end, no matter what that might be. So we need to know the truth, this thing about healing, and so that we can walk in this divine health that God wants us. You know, Satan operates on people's ignorance. Do you know that? He operates on people's ignorance. Okay? His chief weapon is deception. He is known as the deceiver of the brethren. The Bible says time and time again, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Folks, God works through his word. Amen. So, you know, it's the word of God. It is really the word of God that is quickened in our heart by the Holy Spirit that will awaken your faith. That's what the word of God does as we meditate on that. God will cause his healing power, his healing anointing to be released in our bodies. But it needs to be the Rhema word of God. Not the Logos. Okay, you can study that for yourself. Okay. God's word is healing medicine, the Bible says. His word is healing medicine to our body when it is released. This is what God says about his word. In Proverbs 4:20, I want to read it to us. He says, my son and daughters, listen to my words. Bow down your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Folks, we need to be seeing the word of God and hearing the word of God. That's what he's saying. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? He tells us. For they are life to those who find them. And health, and health, and health to all his flesh. If you come up just now, you know, and you need a touch from the Lord, as I said, come with even that faith the size of a mustard seed and just see what God can actually do. Come expecting, with an expectation in your heart that the Lord is actually going to touch you. Why? Because he is the great physician. That's what the Bible says. He is the great physician. You know, I just want to read a portion of scripture. It's quite interesting. And let us see in the word what actually happens to Jesus when he goes into his hometown. He goes into Nazareth. Right? And it's quite incredible because the people checked him out and they were just first of all blown away by, you know, what was happening and the signs and the wonders and the miracles and those incredible things that he was saying. And then suddenly something changed. There was a shift that actually took place. And then they didn't believe him. Why didn't they believe him? And why didn't they have faith in him? Because they remembered him as the carpenter's son. Carpenter's son. Listen here, listen. This is Mark 6 verse 1. And he went away from there and he came to his hometown and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. There it is, on the Sabbath when Jesus teaches. Okay, maybe not in this situation, but man, he used to cause havoc with these religious people. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. So in his hometown, they're just blown away. They're astonished, the Bible says, saying, where did this man get these things? Wow! Where did he get them? Then they said, what is the wisdom, given to him? Like, they couldn't, they were just blown away by the wisdom. How are such mighty works done by his hands? They're asking all these questions. They're just in awe of him. And then suddenly, they now started to look at things from a natural perspective. Then the next verse is, ha! Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They took offense. And Jesus commented on in verse 4. He said, you know, a prophet is not without honor. So yeah, prophets may be honored. They should be honored. A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. You might be finding that as well, that people are just blown away by the ministry, how the Lord is actually using you. But when you go and minister to family and those that are close to you, they might treat you the same way. And now watch what Jesus' response is. And he could do no mighty work there, the Bible says, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Maybe a couple with snotty noses. Okay, sounds gross, yeah? Maybe they had a headache. I don't know. A few little miracles. But the next verse, listen, he says, and he marveled. He marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. Couldn't believe it because of their lack of faith. And what did he do? And he went out among the villages and he started teaching. So folks, we need to get a revelation of the fact that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Amen? We have to have that. We were healed 2,000 years ago when he took all of your sickness upon himself and he took all my sickness upon himself. And if he took it all, how much is left over? Now, I'm going to give us a statement here, and maybe we should all learn this. It's just a one-liner. Here's a good one. We are the healed, resisting sickness, and we are not the sick trying to get healed. Let me say that again. We are the healed, because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We are the healed, resisting sickness. So I'm healed now. Sickness is trying to lay itself on me, and I'm resisting it. We are not the sick where I'm sick now. Now I'm trying to fight this thing off. It's a mindset. And if we have that mindset right, I can tell you something. It helps in our battle when the enemy comes in like a flood. So what I want to do now is just give us a few pointers. Just a few pointers to help us with regards to this thing of healing. The first one is this. Watch your words. Watch your words. Right? Don't make negative confessions because of what you see. So easy to do that. By what you see. Because the Word of God says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we should be walking. So if you see something in your body, okay, that is not the reality. Our reality is that we walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see. That's the first thing. And the other thing I said, you know, about watching your words is that so often, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, somebody will come, we pray for an impartation of God's healing power. You know, we just a sense of, wow, this is, you know, God's healing anointing is now busy at work in their body. And what they do, they walk out and somebody comes to them and says, how are you? Now the answer should be, praise God, I believe God's healing power, God's healing anointing is busy at work in my body perfecting a healing. That's the answer. But they say, how are you? I'm sick, eh? Boom. Okay? Your confession. That's your confession of faith. May it be as you say. That's what happens. Be very, very careful of that. So we need to confess what the Word says about our situation. We see in Joel 3 verse 10 it says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Hebrews 4:14, let us hold fast to our confession of faith, what we believe. And in this particular case, we're talking about healing right now. Another thing that's important is that we need to meditate on the scriptures until those healing scriptures, until we have a revelation of them. Like I said, folks, this is really a key that I said earlier on, the difference between the Logos Word of God and the Rhema. The Logos Word is not going to heal us. And I remember, you know, we used to kind of, when I got born again, man, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. It was this, the more times you said it, the more powerful it was. So you'd walk around, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. No power in that, because we are quoting the Logos Word of God. But when we take that word and we meditate on it, and then God ignites something on the inside of us where we understand it and we get a revelation of it, then it becomes Rhema, and it's by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Boom. Something shifts. And it is that point that there is power. It's no longer the Logos Word. It is now Rhema. Amen. Very important that for us. Also make sure that if we're in a place where there's sickness, that we have dealt with sin issues. Especially, here's the big one, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Big one. The number of times that I've heard over the years that I've been a believer where people have been sick for a period of time, and somebody ultimately points this thing out about unforgiveness, where there is and remember, forgiveness is a decision we make. It's not an emotion. I was talking to somebody the other day, this last week. Oh, but I don't feel it. Oh, I don't feel this. It's not about how you feel. It's about us applying God's principles, whether you feel it or not. Even when we get born again. Oh, but I don't feel born again. Well, you're still born again. Okay? You're born again, right? You get baptized. Oh, but I didn't feel anything. Well, tough. You're still baptized. You're still obedient. Amen. Unforgiveness, deal with it. Then also, James 4:7 says, first submit to God, then you resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, this thing that I spoke about authority, the authority that we've been given in the name of Jesus, as a child of God, we need to start to rise up and use this authority. Another one is Proverbs 17:22. This is an interesting one. It says, a cheerful heart makes a quick recovery. A cheerful heart. In other words, what we need to do when we are maybe not feeling well, make sure that we've got the right attitude while we're not feeling well. A cheerful heart makes a quick recovery. So let's have a good attitude even in a bad situation. Amen? Right. And also, folks, we don't thank God for the sickness, like I said earlier on, but we can be thankful in the sickness. Big difference. That's where people, you know, they misquote the word where they say, well, I'm thank you God for the sickness you put on. No, hang on. Okay. Thank you in the situation that we're going through, that we can still be thankful to God, but we don't thank Him for something that the devil has placed upon us. In Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. Healing all. We need to understand that you and I are part of the all. Tell somebody around you, I'm part of the all. Yeah, we are part of the all. All. Jesus healed all. Another thing is also, expect to be healed. There needs to be an expectation, because this is what the Lord wants, and this is part of what the Lord actually died for. Can we truly, truly lead the abundant life that Jesus purchased for us? Remember He said, I came to give you life and life in abundance. Can we lead an abundant life if we are just sick all the time? I'm just asking that question. Jesus came to give us life. Abundant life. And then also, we need to be people who just go out there and do what the Word says. Hey? Let's not make it complicated. The Word is so straightforward. But we make it complicated because there's certain things we don't like to do. Alright? And we start to kind of maneuver ourselves. Let's just accept the Word and do what God has commanded us to do. Go out there and lay. The Bible says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do it. Once you've done your side of it, it's then up to the Holy Spirit. But let's make sure that we do our side, and then we can take a step back, and then it's over to the Holy Spirit. So folks, let us be obedient to what He says, okay, that we, you know, with regards to healing. And I'd like us to now, if anybody needs a touch from the Lord, okay, don't think, well, my headache is too small, whatever it is. Come forward. We want to pray for you. And let's trust now that there's an impartation of God's healing power, His healing anointing, setting the captives free here this morning. So if that's you, come forward. I'm sure there are some of us.